You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on game day. Wisconsin and Michigan is tonight. Wisconsin basketball is playing the red and white scrimmage today. Back-to-back Wisconsin Badger athletic events with hockey mixed in. So you could actually be watching three Wisconsin Badgers athletic events today on this Saturday, November 14th. The best day to be a Badger fan in months. My name is Asher Lowe, and I'm the site editor at Badgers Wire, a play-by-play broadcaster for Badger Sports, and your host right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast, bringing you the insider student perspective filled with stats, special guests, and all things Badger sports. Make sure to listen and follow for free wherever you get your podcast. If you are on Apple, if you could scroll down right now and drop a review, drop a five-star review, that would help the pod a bunch. It helps the algorithms out, gets Apple to promote it. That would be awesome. If you're on Spotify, hit that follow button. Joining me right now is Ben Kenny of Badgers Wire, my coworker and a guy that's been on this podcast quite a bit. And we're just going to banter. We're just going to talk Wisconsin, Michigan, 20 minutes, 25 minutes of Wisconsin, Michigan talk, give our predictions. We're going to give you each a player that we think is going to go off in the second segment. But we're going to start by just talking about what has gone wrong with Michigan, what we can expect out of a Wisconsin team that we don't really know what they're missing. We do know some things about who's going to be playing and have some idea, but we don't fully know what we're going to see until they literally run out on the field at the Big House, which is a pretty weird thing to say, but it's true. It's 2020. Ben, welcome back to Locked On Badgers. Let's get it going.
Asher, what up? It's great to be back, and it is an absolutely beautiful day to be in Madison, Wisconsin, and honestly, to be a sports fan. We also have the Masters, college football all day, but the eyes are obviously set 6:30. Michigan, Wisconsin, Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler, which arguably makes the game better.
I think it does. I'm a big Chris and Kirk fan. You know, tomorrow, speaking of being a sports fan, tomorrow we got college football because the Pac-12 reschedule, NFL football, and Masters Day, what is it, three or four?
Four.
Day four.
Four,
It's the final day. It always ends on Sundays, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. It's a big two TV setup kind of weekend.
It is a two TV setup kind of weekend. It's a two TV setup if you're a Badger fan too, because like I said, Badgers red and white scrimmage is at 4:30 Central. Badger hockey at, I believe, 6 Eastern, 5 Central on NBC against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. They won yesterday. Badger hockey got their first win of the season. Linus Weisbach was big, a guy that – and a team that had a ton of talent last year but really couldn't put it all together under Tony Granato. This year, getting off to a good start and hopefully gets the sweep of Notre Dame tonight. And then, of course, Wisconsin and Michigan, what you came here for. Prime time, Chris and Kirk. Ben, why is Michigan 1-2? We've talked about it this week a little bit at Badgers Wire, but why is Michigan at 1-2 right now?
Well, first of all, if you look at their team as a whole, this isn't the Michigan team that we've grown used to seeing in the last 5-6 years, especially under Harbaugh. Because when you think about those Michigan teams, it's really, they have a great defense, a good running game, good weapons on the outside, and subpar quarterback play. But now you look at this team this year, their defense has been bad, for lack of a better word. Their secondary has allowed Rocky Lombardi of Michigan State and Michael Penix Jr. of Indiana to both throw for more than 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, and have really been a big reason they've lost games. And the offense has been really inconsistent, but they finally have talent at the quarterback position. While at the same time, their offensive line hasn't been great. Their running game has been good, but they've found themselves down in games early. And they have Ronnie Bell on the outside. But it really comes down to the fact their defense has been subpar and bad at times. Joe Milton has been good, their quarterback, but he's been really inconsistent. And to me, I think the reason they're 1-2 boils down to the coaching, because we really haven't seen them make significant adjustments in the secondary on offense. And Harbaugh, I mean, definitely at the end of that Michigan State game, you can question the specific, strategic decision-making. But the coaching staff really isn't, getting the most out of the talent they have.
So if we're talking about the coaching staff, we're talking about obviously Jim Harbaugh, but Michigan defensive coordinator Don Brown, a veteran of the game, a guy that has led Michigan to top five defenses 4 of the past 5 years nationally, but a guy that is struggling right now to find the answers, the solutions. And he said this week, Ben, that he was blindsided by all the criticism. I don't know how you can be blindsided by the criticism that's coming his way. He's running this one-dimensional man-to-man stuff that isn't working. They can't guard in man in the secondary. He tried to mix in a little zone against Indiana, and I watched that game, and they looked like a team that hadn't played much zone all year, which they haven't played much zone all year. They were lost in that respect. They have to figure out their zone coverage, I think, coming into this week against Wisconsin, because man is not working. And Wisconsin has two guys on the outside that can beat you in Kendrick Pryor and Danny Davis.
Yeah. Yeah. If you look, so running through the stats of this defense, and aside from week one against Minnesota, where they still gave up 24 points, they were good in that game. They forced two turnovers. Since that game, they haven't forced a single turnover. They're giving up 30 points a game, more than 400 yards, more than 280 of which passing, 124 rushing. They're giving up 43.5% on third down. And star defensive end Aiden Hutchinson broke his foot last week. He's out for the year. So really, I mean, you expect Don Brown to change something, get things going. But you also have to think about this team's 1-2. They have Ohio State coming up. Like, you don't really know what this team necessarily has more to fight for.
Speaking of being out and missing games, Wisconsin could be in some trouble. We don't fully know the extent of that trouble until we see them on the field. But there are going to be some players out. We know the defense and the offense will be a little shorthanded. We also know that based on some press conferences and when we got reported positive tests, and remember the Big Ten protocol, people, is 21 days from the time of your first positive COVID test, which means Graham Mertz, as I've tried to tell you time and time and time and time again on this show for the last 2 weeks, will be able to play against Michigan. I've tweeted this, I've written about this, and yet for some reason, everyone else is saying it's this huge question mark. I'd be shocked if he doesn't play. That's the only place I'd be shocked. I don't think it's a question mark. I think he's going to play. And we obviously don't have the definitive on that. But, guys, he's going to play, barring some really weird thing in practice over the last few days.
Yeah, and when you look at this game, I mean, that's the variable that you really, one, don't know about, but two, really makes you question whether Wisconsin's able to go in there and win. And then you also think about the fact that the entire team was in quarantine for, I believe, 10 days. Right. They didn't get back to practice until Monday. So this is a team that had a week, 2 weeks off, and we don't know what their conditioning level will be. We don't know, you know, how buttoned up they'll be coming back, because in essence, this is kind of like going into week one, but even not really that much, because you usually have weeks of preparation. So Michigan definitely does have the advantage of they played three games so far. They've been practicing regularly. If you take these teams and take away those variables, Wisconsin has the clear advantage. But if one thing is going to give Michigan the advantage or keep the game close, it's that.
So if you look at where Michigan has really struggled on defense, we've talked about it a little bit, but it's been against the pass. And against Indiana, it was as apparent as it's been all year. It was a complete nightmare. The Michigan State game was honestly just one of those ugly wins for Michigan State, those games where you keep it close as the underdog and you find a way.
Well, yes, but I think, in my opinion, that was still one of the most, if not the single most inexcusable loss Harbaugh's had since he's been at Michigan. When you're 21.5-point favorites against a team that has a new coach and pretty much an entire new team coming in after, like, their coach, Mel Tucker, didn't even meet the team until, I don't know, June, because he was signed and joined the team during quarantine. So that loss is still one of the most inexcusable losses. Even if it was an ugly loss, like, it was their secondary that ended up losing them the game.
And offensively, I've said it on this show, I said it on Big Ten Ben Stevens' show at the beginning of this week. Ben, if you can't run the football in the Big Ten, you can't win games in the Big Ten. And if you want a stat, here's one for you. Michigan against Indiana, 18 carries, 13 yards.
Yeah,
Who's winning a Big Ten football game with 18 carries and 13 rushing yards?
Definitely not Michigan, given how they're structured.
Maybe Ohio boils, State. But besides that, I couldn't see anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that boils down to the offensive line. This is an offensive line that, I mean, Milton hasn't been sacked much because of how athletic he is, but it's an offensive line that is not winning the battle in the trenches nearly enough to put the team in manageable third down situations.
Do you think Rashad Wildgoose can handle a Ronnie Bell and is going to be tasked with that and do as good of a job as he did in week one against Josh Uiagalelei, which I think that was a guy we forget about in that game was Rashad Wildgoose, who really broke out in the secondary in week one, played the best game of his Wisconsin career, I think.
Oh, I think he was definitely the best player on defense. I do think he can play as well and do the job of shutting down Ronnie Bell. Whether he plays as well as he does week one, that's going to be pretty hard given the fact that Uiagalelei had three catches for 26 yards. Bell's coming in with a better quarterback throwing him the ball, 19.2 yards per reception. It's really about you can let Bell get catches, but it really you just can't get burned deep, especially against the Michigan offense that's been inconsistent and hasn't – there have been spells where they really haven't been able to string together like many productive offensive series in a row. So it's I don't think he'll play as well as he did week one. He's definitely an X factor, but I do think he can do the job of taking Ronnie Bell and his big play impact out of the game.
Bend but don't break. And Indiana kind of broke last week against Ronnie Bell. Bell had six catches, 149 yards and a touchdown, a 52-yard reception. So we'll see if that carries over for the Wolverines. That Michigan State loss was as embarrassing as it gets. And I talked about this with both Isaiah Hull of Locked On Wolverines and with Ben Stevens. But I think Harbaugh is firmly on the hot seat. I think he should be on the hot seat. And the question has always been with Jim Harbaugh, well, you want to fire Jim Harbaugh? Okay, that's great. Who do you get that's better than Jim Harbaugh? I feel like it's kind of the question at Nebraska if Scott Frost goes like 1-6 this year. Like, okay, you can fire Scott Frost, but are you really going to go out and get someone better for this program than Scott Frost? And I think for Michigan, there is an answer. And I think it's, yes, you can get someone better than Jim Harbaugh.
Well, for Nebraska, I definitely think they can get many people that are better than Scott Frost, but that's a completely different.
Somehow they find a way to just dump on Nebraska on every episode of this show. No matter if we're talking about Wisconsin and Michigan, I still will find a way to just get in my Nebraska skewer and just destroy Scott Frost. But yeah, back to Michigan.
Well, in that whole situation, you have to take into account whether someone wants to go to Nebraska, but that's also another conversation.
I mean, I'm not going to Lincoln anytime soon.
But in terms of Harbaugh, I do think he's on the hot seat. I mean, it's really about expectation where, I mean, we saw in 2018, the Badgers really didn't live up to expectations. They did go 8-5, but this is like the Wisconsin program is still a program where even if you have a down year, like they understand what the program is about, what it's building to be. At Michigan, as soon as Harbaugh came in, they're talking about Big Ten East champions, Big Ten champions. Harbaugh even said this offseason, his team is close to winning a national championship. So when you, A, go to Michigan with those expectations and that name and that aura around you and you underperform like he has, I mean, let's be real, he's not going out and beating Ohio State every year, but he doesn't really need to. But he's been losing to Michigan State consistently. He's up and down against Wisconsin and against Penn State. They're really the third best team in the East since he's gotten there, which is really not what you're paying him to do. So I do think he's on the hot seat. And I don't know what the better names are, but this is also a pandemic year. You have to think about that. Still going forward, I mean, if he falls apart this season or has another bad season, subpar season, I could definitely see him gone.
We'll get to the player that we think is going to break out for Wisconsin in just a sec. But first, let me tell you about the beer that should be in your hand when you are laying back on the couch watching Wisconsin basketball, Wisconsin hockey, and Wisconsin football. Maybe the Masters if you're Ben Kenny. Anything you want to mix in there. It's a college football Saturday. It's the Masters, and you need the beer that is made to chill. Coors Light, brewed in Golden, Colorado. Coors Brewing Company, as cold as the Rockies. And the best part about it is you don't have to get up off your couch to get it. You go on your phone. You go on your computer. You go to get.coorslight.com. Get.coorslight.com, and they will ship the beer that is made to chill straight to your doorstep. If you go to get.coorslight.com right now, order Coors Light. It shows up at your door. The beer that is made to chill, please celebrate responsibly after you watch Michigan and Wisconsin go off and improve to 2-0. Ben, we're getting to what we think is going to be the breakout, who we think, I should say, is going to be the breakout star of this primetime matchup. I got mine. I'll let you start with yours. Opposite ends of the ball for us.
Yeah, so I'll say this first. One of my biggest keys to the game is going to be stopping Joe Milton on the ground. We saw week one, Brandon Peters running the football for Illinois was really their only productive offense. He had seven carries, more than 70 yards, and I think the rest of their offense had around 140 total yards. So while Michigan has talent in the backfield, stopping Milton with his legs, because he's a better runner than Brandon Peters is, stopping him with his legs is going to be huge for letting the secondary go to work, you know, and stopping the rest of their offense. So with that, my breakout player, my key player, is going to be true sophomore nose tackle Keanu Benton. Week one against Illinois, three tackles, like showed flashes, definitely played well, was a big part of them shutting down pretty much everything Illinois tried to do with their running backs. but he's going to have a big game tonight against a really porous interior of the Michigan offensive line, an offensive line that's really struggled to get the ground game going and to keep Milton clean in the pocket. So him in the middle, he's really the biggest game wrecker. He has the biggest game wrecker potential we've seen from the nose tackle position in some years, where he can really be that guy to plug the runs and also get after the quarterback and be disruptive. So he's my guy for tonight.
I think that Kendrick Pryor is going to have one of his biggest games ever in a Wisconsin uniform. I think we're going to see him used in jet sweeps. I think we're going to see him used as a deep threat in the passing game. I think he's going to break one open. I think he's going to make some people miss in the Michigan secondary that has looked anything but consistent through three games this year. I think that the way Michigan plays defense with a weak secondary that has played a ton of man really favors a guy like Kendrick Pryor versus when you're looking at Illinois, that favored more of a Jake Ferguson, where they're going to leave some things open over the middle of the field, some of the shorter routes they're going to give up playing Tampa 2. But this Michigan team, if they're in press man a bunch, Kendrick Pryor is going to beat them. And he's going to – I think Michigan will focus on taking away the run first. I really do believe that. But especially given that Graham Mertz – they know Graham Mertz hasn't played football in a while, except for these last few days, of course. Allegedly these last few days. We don't know how his activity progression went at the end, but he could have been on the field as early as Wednesday. So I think Kendrick Pryor is going to have a day and one of his better days ever in a Wisconsin uniform.
Yeah, I'm with that. I mean, I really circled both him and Danny Davis, just the receivers in general, about guys that need to have a big day if the Badgers want to go into Ann Arbor and win. We already talked about Rashad Wild Goose. I highlighted him as well, shutting down Ronnie Bell. The whole linebacking core of Sanburn, Chanel, maybe Mike Mascalunas, getting in there and stopping Hassan Haskins and Zach Charbonnet on the ground. And then finally, like, it sounds crazy that I wrote this down, but one of the biggest keys to the game for Wisconsin is being able to run the football. And I feel like that's never something we would say before, but after not the best showing against Illinois on the ground, Michigan is a team where even if the Badgers are up third quarter, like, this is a game that they need to close by running the ball. They can't have Graham Mertz bail them out on third down every single drive like they did against Illinois week one.
I also want to say Kendrick Pryor's ESPN picture here that I'm looking at, he is wearing an absolutely swag Wisconsin tie. The red tie has got like white W's on. I've never seen this tie before at the bookstore, but I'm sure it's there. I think I want to get myself a Wisconsin tie. This thing is enticing me. I love it. You got to go look, yep. check out his ESPN picture. It might be the same as his, like, it probably is the same as his roster picture, honestly.
Yeah, he also came to the press conference on Wednesday with his hair all puffed out. Oh, yeah. No, I love that. I might purchase that. Yeah.
Yeah, his hair's puffed out. But you see this picture? You seen this?
Yeah.
Everybody go check this out. I know it's bad podcasting because you can't see the picture, but you should go check out this picture. He has a swag tie on. I think everybody should own that tie if you're a Wisconsin Badger fan. It's a sweet red tie. Michigan and Wisconsin, Ben, how does it play out?
So Ben Stevens asked me this, Big Ten Ben, on Locked On Big Ten a couple days ago. I have two different answers because it all boils down to whether Graham Mertz plays. I think he does play. I really don't see a scenario where he doesn't, because him at, I don't know, 40, 50% conditioning is still better than Danny Vandenboom. But with Graham Mertz, I think Wisconsin wins 27-20, wins by a touchdown. This is a competitive game because we don't know who Wisconsin's going to have out there. You know, Michigan, is going to need to bounce back from their two straight losses. But in the end, Wisconsin is a more consistent team on both sides of the football and will be able to win by touchdown. If Mertz doesn't play, some scenario that he doesn't play, Michigan 27, Wisconsin 13, it's not close. The Badgers won't be able to move the ball at all without Mertz under center.
I'll give my pick in just a second. Actually, I forgot, and luckily we're recording this before the early games start, but I did make a promise to all my listeners to give out every single Big Ten spread pick, and I've done it through 3 weeks, and we have to do that. If you want to do it with me, you're down to do it with me?
Yeah, I will say this. I'm 1-0 on the week. I had Iowa last night.
I'm also 1-0 on the week. I got a little funny yesterday. I got Iowa team total instead of spread, which is a little more of a sweat, but
yeah, but boy, is there no longer a boat to row.
I mean, Oh, PJ. Oh, fun fact, guys. PJ Fleck has as many penalty yards by himself as the entire Wisconsin team, and he got them all last night. He got a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty last night that actually ended up ruining a drive, basically, after a turnover. And so that is as many penalty yards as Wisconsin had in the total of week one.
Verbal meme, ready? My plans, picture of their championship rings for not winning the Big Ten West, comma, 2020, the score last night.
I like it. Verbal memes, talking about Kendrick Pryor's picture on ESPN. What has this turned into? It's Locked On Badgers. Anything's possible, especially when Ben Kenny joins me. First, I'm going to tell you about Built Bar before we get into our Big Ten bets because, hey, if I tell you about Built Bar, then I give you some winners. What can you use that money on? You can use it on buying some Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the game. I'm not just saying that. They actually send us boxes to all the Locked On hosts, and it is by far the best solution for protein I've ever had. I'm not the world's biggest protein bar fan usually, but this one is different. Their slogan is it tastes like a candy bar. It literally does. They got fall flavors right now in. Pumpkin chocolate chip cookie is pretty fire. They got a new pecan flavor in for the fall. I'm sure they'll have some holiday flavors going. They got the classics too, banana nut bread, salted caramel, some of my favorites in there. Built Bar, if you go right now to BuiltBar.com, you get $20 off your next order. It doesn't have to be your first order. Your next order, if you use the code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, all caps, no spaces, use the code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com, and you'll get $20 off your next order of a protein bar that is packed with 17 grams of protein a bar, 130 calories-ish per bar. The nutrition facts speak for themselves. The taste speaks for itself. BuiltBar.com. We'll start with Indiana, Michigan State. I think the weirdest line of the day, Ben. Indiana -7.5. It screams Vegas trap to me, but I'm going to fall into the mouse trap and take Indiana -7.5.
Yeah, that is the line is the only reason I like Michigan State here. I like Michigan State to cover 7.5 just because the line shouldn't look like this. And this is my theory about football betting is that a team coming off a big win, playing against a team coming off a big loss, that team with the big loss is going to cover. I don't know if it happens. I don't know the stats on it, but that's how my mind works.
See, here's one of my theories is that if you see a Vegas trap and you're looking at a line, and what is a Vegas trap, people? A Vegas trap is a line that you look at. Yeah, Ben, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say a Vegas trap is the Eagles -3.5 this weekend.
Exactly. A Vegas trap is a line that you see, and logically in your head, you're looking at those two football teams. You've seen them both play, and you're like, this makes no sense. This is easy. This is a gimme, a layup. You always take the opposite of what you think is the easy one with a Vegas trap. I did it recently. Colts -1. That was a Vegas trap on Thursday Night Football. The Titans were the better football team rolling in based on how they looked through 8 weeks. They were the better football team through 8 weeks. They're favored on the road, the Colts were, as the lesser football team, a team that looked abysmal against the Ravens, and the Ravens didn't play well in that game a week ago. What do? Vegas puts them as a favorite on the road. They roll in. They win the game easily. That's a Vegas trap. Miami, Florida, the number 10 team in the country right now, or 11, I believe. Underdogs on the road at a Virginia Tech team that's lost 3 games this morning. That's a Vegas trap. You take Virginia Tech. You don't think twice about it. Vegas trap. But I'm ignoring my own rule. I'm taking Indiana -7.5. Let's go to Illinois +6 against Rutgers. Boy, what a battle. I'm going to go Illinois here. I like the underdogs. I know Brandon Peters is out, but I still think they have the talent on basically every position that is better than Rutgers' talent.
Yeah, I don't know why I like Illinois +6.5, but I do.
That's fair. We'll leave it at that. It's not a game where I want to get into much.
Yeah.
Northwestern, a very interesting line and game against Purdue. They are 2.5-point favorites, I believe, right now at Purdue. Undefeated teams, combined 5-0 record. I'm excited for this game. Really excited. I am. I'm juiced.
It is a crazy world where we are excited for an undefeated matchup between Northwestern and Purdue.
Crazier things have happened this year, Ben. I got to tell you.
Yeah. I like Purdue plus the points here. I like Purdue to win outright. I think Northwestern has – their record really doesn't show what their team is. Like, they've outperformed, you know, what their team is. Obviously, right. They ran over Maryland, and Maryland has gotten two impressive wins since then. But that Iowa game, they were down 17-0, came back. Like, I'm not sold on Northwestern yet. They're obviously much improved, but I trust Purdue more in this situation than I do Northwestern.
I also am not sold on Northwestern, but I'm still going to take them. I think they're the better, by far better defensive football team in this game, and that's why I want them. The linebackers, I love watching Patty Fisher play. I love watching Blake Gallagher play, tackling machines, and a team that's going to run the ball well enough to win this game at Purdue. 2.5 is kind of a weird number. I feel like this game is going to be a one possession game, so the 2.5 could burn you if Northwestern wins by a point, 2 points in some weird score. But I do like the Cats to win the game. Not super confident laying a couple points, though. Let's go to – let's see. What have we not done here? What do we got left? Ohio State game is canceled. Ah, Nebraska-Penn State. This line is weird as well. Penn State minus 3, a team that is basically the opposite of that Northwestern-Purdue game, two teams that are winless, a combined 0-5. I like Penn State here, and I actually like them. Like, I really like this line, but – it's too spooky to put a bunch of money on because of the way Penn State has looked through 3 weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I like Penn State to win and cover. Like, they just need to win eventually, right?
I mean, they're literally, we're talking about a top 10 preseason team in the country.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is a Nebraska team that has shown nothing of note. They lost Northwestern. They kept it close ish, but that was
better than I thought they would actually. But they're still 0-2.
Yeah, I like Penn State. Like, eventually, James Franklin has to win a game.
Right. All right, let's get into the marquee matchup. It's been the craziest line jumping. I talked about it earlier in the week on this show. But this line opened at Michigan minus 1. And it's gone all the way. I saw Wisconsin minus 5 yesterday on my book. You don't see that very often, people. You do not see a line jump by 6 points unless there's some major injury change or players out. And there hasn't been any real change in information for us about Wisconsin or Michigan. Maybe people realize that Graham Mertz is going to play and they didn't realize it when Vegas set the line. I don't know. If Vegas didn't realize that, I think they would. I mean, they know everything. Vegas knows all. It's a weird line. I like Wisconsin to cover. I like the under. I believe it's under 54, I want to say, is the under. I like the under. I like Wisconsin to cover. Do I love Wisconsin to cover? No. I think they'll win the football game, though. 5 points is a weird amount.
Yeah. Yeah, as I said, with Mertz, they win, they cover. Without Mertz, they get blown out.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment. It's a great day to be a Badger. Ben, thank you for hopping on. It's a great day to be a Badger. Wisconsin hockey, Wisconsin basketball, Wisconsin football. Same day. On Wisconsin. As always, on Wisconsin. Back on Monday, breaking down what happened in this crazy weekend of Wisconsin sports.